This is Pastor Dale Swartz, and I do welcome you to another broadcast of The Voice of Tomorrow. The Voice of Tomorrow is brought to you at the same time each week by Kingdom Ministries Incorporated in conjunction with the Litchfield Church of God. And I invite you to get a Bible and a piece of paper and a pencil. I'd like to have you follow along in the passages we're going to be looking at and write these passages down so that you can go back and re-examine the scriptures that we're studying. We're looking at the Gospel of John today. I'm going to be looking at again at John chapter 3. And it's a story that of Jesus' encounter with one of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, who was a ruler of the Jews. The Pharisees and Jesus were at odds a good portion of his ministry. And here is one that seems to believe that maybe Jesus is the one. I want you to follow along. I want you to write the passages down that we look at and listen carefully, because I want you to be able to go back and re-examine the scriptures that we discussed today. I want you to learn. I want you to understand the scriptures. For the scriptures, in them, you find Jesus Christ and life eternal. In the Gospel of John, John himself writes at the very end of his gospel why he has written this gospel. It's in the Gospel of John, chapter 20, and starting with verse 30, it says, "Therefore, there are many other signs that Jesus performed in the presence of the disciples that are not written in the book." There were, you know, through Jesus' life, you know, he lived 3 years, had 3 years of ministry, three and a half years of ministry. He was approximately 33 years old. And yet, what our modern Bibles have in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are Jesus' words, often printed in red. And if you would put all those together, you would find that Jesus apparently didn't say an awful lot. But he did. And as you look at Matthew, Mark, and Luke, a lot of the stories are repetitious. A lot of the stories are the same in Luke's gospel as in Matthew's. It's just a different writer telling it using different words. And so that even makes the words of Jesus even less. But the scriptures have in them the things that were needed for us to know who Jesus Christ is. And there were many miracles that Jesus performed and many parables that Jesus told. And the things that we have given to us through the scriptures, the Bible says here, and John wrote down, that there are many other signs that Jesus performed in the presence of his disciples that are not written in the book. But these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And believing, you might have life through his name. Jesus was born to save us from our sins. The angel Gabriel told Joseph before Jesus' birth that this is what he would do. He would save his people from their sins. In the Gospel of John in chapter 1, as Jesus is coming onto the scene in his adult life, John the Baptist sees him and calls him the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 29. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Up to this particular point, the only way the Jews could have life was to sacrifice an animal. But something new was going to take place, and John the Baptist recognized who Jesus truly was. He was the Son of God, the Son of the Creator of the universe. He was not the Creator of the universe. He was the Son of the Creator of the universe. And he was born from the womb of Mary. He was a human being who was born the Son of Mary, the Son of God, and grew up as a proper child and came into ministry teaching and preaching a message concerning the kingdom of God. And when John sees him, he sees him, this is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. God was going to provide a way that all of mankind could have eternal life, but it was going to take a sacrifice, a blood sacrifice, once and for all, from someone who was perfect. And no one, no human being has ever met the necessary qualifications except this one man, Jesus. Not even God could die. God was immortal. God still is immortal. God has always been immortal. God cannot die. Jesus did. And God provided Jesus to die for us because God can't die, but God wanted mankind to be able to live eternally. So he provided his son, Jesus, as a sacrifice for sin. And John saw this and he says, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And God provided Jesus, as we've been studying in John chapter 3, verse 30, verse 16 and 17, that God loved the world so much, God gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. That if you believe in Jesus Christ, you don't have to die eternally. You can have eternal life. But because of our sin, it's appointed unto man once to die. Now, I want you to go to John chapter 3, the Gospel of John chapter 3 and verse 16. I want to point out a particular word that is so vital in this text that may be misconstrued, but I'm going to give you clarification of this particular word. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoso believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And when somebody dies, we say they perish. When somebody dies, we say they perish. And the verse here says, whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And so we see what the Bible seems to be saying is that if you believe in Jesus, you won't die. That isn't what is being said here. Look carefully. To understand what the scriptures say, you need to go to the original language. In the English language, we have a word to show our affection and admiration for another human being, and it's a word called love. And there are, in the Greek language, different words for love depending on the degree of love. There's one particular word for love, eros, which is an erotic love that a husband would have for the wife. There's a different love that a parent would have for the child. There's yet a third type of love that you would have for another family member, say a cousin, or an aunt or an uncle, the type of love that you have for maybe a next door neighbor or relatives across country. There are different words in Greek that are all summed up in one English word, love. And the word perish here is like that. If you go to the Greek language, the word here for perish means to be utterly destroyed. Utterly destroyed. That's not just dying as we have death today and being put in the grave to wait a resurrection. This is total annihilation. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him will not be utterly, totally, completely wiped out, annihilated, and consumed, but could have eternal life. And this is consistent with the scriptures, because Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 that when Jesus returns, it's verses 16, 17, and 18, write that down and take a look at it. Paul says that when Jesus returns to this earth, the dead will be raised, the dead in Christ will be raised, and the living will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Paul tells the church at Corinth in chapter 15 that at this resurrection, this first resurrection, will be raised to immortality, changed from corruptible to incorruption, from mortal to immortality. In the book of Revelation in chapter 20, we find that this first resurrection is for those in Christ. The rest of the dead live not again until 1,000 years is completed. This is not the total annihilation. Total annihilation is in the lake of fire for those that reject Jesus Christ, for those who reject God Almighty, for those who reject the message of salvation, who do not want to believe, have chosen of their own free will not to believe. They will be totally annihilated. They will be, according to this particular Greek word, they will perish. But whoever believes in Jesus Christ is not under that permanent condemnation, but can have eternal life. That eternal life will be when Jesus returns. In John chapter 11, as Jesus talked with Mary, Mary said, "I know my brother will rise again at the last day." Lazarus was brought forth that day, but back to mortal life. We will live again, the dead in Christ. Those who have believed and served, really believed in Jesus, will live again when the resurrection day comes. That's not that far away. I believe it's soon. So we need to get our life in order and believe in Jesus Christ, for he is the only way. He is the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father except through him. May God bless you as you continue to study. Study these passages we've discussed today. Re-examine them, and you'll see that it is truth.